Blog Talk Radio.
We're going to lift this one for the kingdom. To it.
To everything that we believe on.
Praise the Lord today. Praise the Lord. Amen. God is good. He is worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be magnified. He is worthy to be lifted up. He is a great and awesome God. It is He that has made us. We didn't make ourselves. God made us, shaped us, and molded us, and carved us into the image of His dear Son. We're excited today because we know this is another day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Pastor Steve Dinwiddie of New Season Ministry, we love you. We admonish you to get into the Word of God, get into a Bible-based church, and allow God to use you in this last and evil time. Amen. Today we thank God for the opportunity to come before you. Thank God for the topic on today. Amen. Can't stop, won't stop. Glory to God. Can't stop, won't stop. Amen. We are soldiers. Amen. We are led by God in this army. Amen. And we have to do what God has called us to do. Amen. But before we get into that, I want to go to the throne of grace. Father, we love you. We appreciate you, God. We thank you because you're an awesome wonder, God. We thank you for the opportunity to get into your word. We want you to hide it deep in our hearts that we might not sin against thee, God, but that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, we ask that you will continue to bless us, God, that we will get what we need so that we can go out and do what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. I just thank God. Amen. Very excited. On Wednesday night Bible study, we talked about being encouraged. Praise the Lord. We talked about the different facets that God gives us a limit of encouragement. Amen. One of the things that we talked about in that lesson is that He encourages us by nature. Praise the Lord. He encourages us when we go outside, amen, and we're able to look at the stars and the moons, and we look at the trees as they grow and blossom, and they repeat the process again and again. We are encouraged, amen, that God is still on the throne. Praise the Lord. He is still the one making all the decisions and calling all the shots. Glory to God. And I thank God for that, because when you think about how things can go in life, amen, they are valleys and they are mountaintop experiences, amen, but through it all, we need to recognize who holds our future and who holds our hand. And so I just want you to be encouraged today, amen, that God has a great plan for your life. He has a great plan for your ministry, great plan for your children, amen, for your business. See, one thing about God is the Bible says that He is not slack. He's not slack. He's not slowful. He's not sluggish when it comes to His promises. He that promised to come, He will come. And the Bible says that He will not tarry. Amen. One thing about God, He is not man. He cannot lie. Glory to God. I love when Jesus said that in my Father's house, there are many mansions. And then He said, and if it was not so, then I wouldn't tell you this. He didn't waste any words. His promises are yea and amen. Oh, glory to God. I am excited today, but I want to get into this word. Amen. In Galatians, the sixth chapter, amen, we want to talk about can't stop, won't stop. Glory to God. So I'm going to read through scriptures for you. It says here that in the seventh verse of the sixth chapter of Galatians, be not deceived. Glory to God. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Many people read this scripture, amen, and the first thing that they start talking about is sowing negative seeds. First thing they start talking about is if you sow evil, you're going to reap it. It's going to come back to you. That's karma. Many people talk about the negative part of sowing and reaping. But God doesn't intend sowing and reaping to be negative. There's a consequence of negativity in sowing. But sowing and reaping is a benefit to humanity. The Bible says in the beginning in Genesis, let everything produce after its own kind. So when we sow, praise the Lord, who we are, we're going to reap the benefits. So when you start thinking about sowing and reaping, it is not a negative thing. God wants you to sow and reap because in order to be encouraged, in order to be prosperous, in order to be in the will of God, you're going to have the mind of a farmer. And a farmer does not sow so that he can reap something evil. A farmer sows so that he can reap the benefits of what he has sown. So it goes on to say in the 8th verse, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But, see, God wants you to know the but. He wants you to know the end all. He wants you to know that contrary to popular belief, that his thoughts of you are good and not of evil. You see, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Everlasting life. If you sow unto the Spirit, glory to God. If you sow unto righteousness, you shall reap righteousness. If you sow unto good works, you shall reap favor and have your way in the lives of people because God has anointed you to be a sower. He's anointed you to be a sower. That's why it says in this next scripture, and this is the reason why it's so important to understand why we can't stop and won't stop. It says, so therefore, let us not be weary in well-doing. In other words, let us not be weary in sowing good seeds. Let us not be weary in sowing into our ministry. Let us not be weary in sowing into the lives of people. Let us not be weary in sowing into the promises that God has given us. For in due season, my God, today, don't you think that it's due time? Don't you think it's your time? The Bible says in Ecclesiastes that there's a time and a season for everything that's under the earth. Don't you think that it's about time for God to bless you because he is not mocked? What he says will come to pass, but we cannot be weary in well-doing. I'm going ahead of myself because I'm excited. But it says, for in due season we shall reap if we don't faint, if we don't give up, if we don't throw in the towel, praise the Lord. I'm reminded, amen, of a parable that someone had told me a long time ago about these two brothers that were very competitive, praise the Lord. Every time one of them did something, the other one wanted to one-up him. If one of them ran 10 laps, the other one wanted to run 11 laps. And the younger brother, amen, would always find himself, amen, coming up short. So he worked out harder, and it looked like he got stronger. He did more push-ups. Even when his older brother was not around, he began to try to perfect who he was and get stronger. And one day, he felt like he was able to beat his older brother. And when he went out to beat his older brother, he challenged him. He said, all right, brother. He said, listen, I'll race you from this side of the pond all the way to the other side of the pond, and I bet I'll beat you. And the older brother accepted the challenge, praise the Lord. And so they got ready to get into the water, amen. And sure enough, the younger brother, they got in the water. He said, go. Bam, he shot off, glory. He just started swimming and swimming and swimming, amen. And as he began to swim, he did pass up the older brother. He found himself going out, and he was a body length in front of the older brother. And he said, I got it now, amen. And as he began to get toward the middle of the water, he said, well, I've already beat him, and he's not going to go on to the other side, so I'm going to turn around and go back to the shore. And he didn't recognize that his brother was still swimming. And then when he got back to the shore on the side that he started at, he looked up and he saw that his older brother was on the other side of the shore. His older brother had beat him again. He knew he was stronger. He knew he was faster. He knew that he had been practicing, getting ready for this day that he can beat his older brother. So he was astonished at this. He was bewildered. He was confused. So as time went on, as the story goes, that the brothers came and they met up again and they got back together, and he asked and said, wait a minute. He said, how in the world did you beat me? I know I'm faster than you now. I know I'm stronger than you, and I'm younger than you. How did you beat me? He said, well, I'll tell you what happened. He He said, while he was using all of your energy to get to the middle of the pond, and in the back of your mind, you were conserving energy for you swimming back to the shore where you came from. He said, but I'll reserve all of my energy to get to the other side. And that's the reason why it's so important for us to understand this race that we're racing. The Bible says that no man builds a house, my God, today. No man builds a house without first sitting down and pondering how much it's going to cost. It's going to cost something. Going to have to lay out the foundation. Going to have to build some stilts and some brick and some mortar. I'm going to need some laborers. I'm going to need a rooftop. You have to consider the cost. And when you start running for Jesus, amen, the Bible says this. He said, any of you that go to begin to put your hand on the plow and then you turn to look back, you're not worthy of the kingdom of God. Now, I'm not trying to chastise anybody. What I'm saying is that we knew there would be a cost. We knew that we were in a situation, amen, where the world was going to scrutinize us. When we accepted the call of Jesus Christ, we had to deny ourselves. We had to look at ourselves and say, you know what? It's no longer about I. It's about Christ. We died so that he could live. We presented ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is our reasonable service. So we start thinking about the things of God, amen, and how that we're able to navigate our way through this life. We have to recognize we cannot be weary. Can't be weary in well-doing. My God, today, we have to do what God has called us to do. I tell you what, when you start thinking about, amen, everything that is going on in this world, and it seems like it's getting darker and darker and darker and darker. And it's true. The Bible says that in the last days, perilous times will come. And they're here, praise the Lord. We're living in the midst of it. But there's one thing that I understand about Jesus Christ. That was a long time ago, a YPWW lesson that talks about darkness and light. And one of the most important statements that was made in that lesson is that the greatest appreciation for light is where there's the most darkness. It's hard to appreciate light when you're among light. That's the reason why we don't respect each other in the church, because we're all light. We see things going on in the church, and we want to criticize things and complain because it's all light. But let us take our light, go into this dark world, and allow them to see the light of Christ shining right in their life so that they can be led back to the kingdom of God. That's the reason why we have a light. Listen, there would be no need for light if there was not darkness. So this world that we live in is dark, but the Bible has declared that we are the light. And that our light shall shine bright so that men can see our good works and give him glory. Listen, my brother, listen, my sister, be not weary in well-doing, for in due